Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 08 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 09 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 10 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 11 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good afternoon. 12 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good afternoon. 13 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good afternoon. 14 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good afternoon. 15 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good afternoon. 16 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 35 degrees. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. 44 degrees. Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees.
Romeo, monitoring. WEFFR, KFAAYL. How you doing tonight?
I'm chilling, literally, but you know, I'm doing pretty good. Good day at work. Might go out and about for a little bit, but what about you? It's good to hear from you, Ken.
Oh, just working on my tractor in the barn here. Heard your call on the radio.
Oh, what broke on it this time?
One of the cylinders is seeping a little bit, so I taking that apart and putting new seals in it. Reseal a cylinder, no big deal, but gotta be done.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Is it a complicated project?
It can be if you're not paying attention and you start mixing up those seals. There's like, you know, eight little different seals and of minuscule different diameters, so if you're not paying attention, the way you take it apart to put it back together the exact same way, you could possibly mess something up, but all you got to do is pay attention to how you're taking it apart.
Yeah, I might be going to the pawn shop soon. I need to sell that raise, that 80-watt mobile I have, because I need the money from it. And I haven't gotten any hits so far on it, but yeah. But I might do that, or I might just save up when I have it.
Well, pawn shop's gonna give you pennies on the dollar. What kind of radio is it?
J22980R, 80-watt mobile. Like I said, thanks to your kindness, I now have a handheld that's now in the house, and it's doing mighty fine job of hitting the repeaters. And once again, I'm strapped for cash, so I figure, you know, I kind of don't need the 80-watt mobile because, one, my other radio's in my car. It's doing its job just fine. And eventually, I'm going to get into high frequency anyway. So, really, I'm content with what I have right now.
Well, that's a pretty beefy radio there. Just looking at it on DX Engineering. Yeah, well, maybe lower the price. Where do you have it listed? Like Facebook Marketplace, probably?
I don't have it on Marketplace yet. I am giving my fellow hams in the area who may want it first dibs on it. But I gotta get on Marketplace soon. Hopefully it'll sell quickly.
Yeah, you'll do a lot better there than at a pawn shop, I'm sure.
Yeah, the only problem is selling stuff like that is you don't know how long it's going to take.
Yeah, Marketplace gets pretty good coverage. And I don't know how that happened. I don't know how they took over from Craigslist just all of a sudden, because Craigslist used to be the de facto place, but Marketplace just took over. Not sure how that happened, but I sold a plow blade back in December for a ATV that I didn't need, and I had it on Craigslist for like 2 weeks with zero hits. I put it on Marketplace. It was sold within 2 hours.
I'm going to have to try it, because, yeah, I need that radio sold. I need the money from it.
Yeah, I remember those days. Well, you'll figure it out. It'll get done. You'll be all right.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm talking about it now on the radio scene, if there's any hams out there that are maybe listening to this conversation.
No takers as of yet, but You'll get one. Somebody will come along here. I'm sure of it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm just glad we have a linked system. And we're going like halfway across the state right now, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can hit the point one from here, but it's a pretty rough signal. So I hit the Guilford repeater much better.
I once had a guy down in Detroit hit the Lapeer once. And that was impressive because he literally went like 70 miles on 2 meters. And you know 2 meters does not go very far.
Well, what's the maximum wattage on 2 meters? I think it's 1,500, isn't it?
I don't recall off the top of my head, unfortunately.
I just did the general a few weeks ago. I think it's 1,500. I'd have to look again.
Phil, so you're from Lapeer to from Detroit to Lapeer. That's pretty impressive.
There's a 2 meter tower in the UP that I call the Cook Tower. It's in Cooks, Michigan, which is kind of like south central UP. That tower will reach all the way to Marquette and all the way down to Gaylord.
Is there a few years in transit from there to Gaylord?
Well, I started hearing the repeater pretty good right around Gaylord, and I hear it really well all the way to UP and across over to Marquette. I only got a 50-watt mobile, so I can't transmit from Gaylord. It hits it, it'll come back with a little, you know, repeater squelch or whatever, but nobody can hear you until I get much closer to about the bridge.
Yeah, but I'd say good for to have a repeater that can go that far. And, yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how to use the programming software. And, yeah, that's proven to be a challenge.
For the handheld, you downloaded that from the Yaesu website?
Affirmative, and had trouble getting it hooked up.
Yeah, I think that cable didn't like being hooked up. If you have, like on my computer, I have a desktop that's under my desk, and I have like 3 or 4 programming cables constantly plugged into it, so I just leave them there. That Yaesu cable didn't like it when other programming cables were plugged into the machine, so I used to have to unplug all the rest of them, and then it would operate correctly. Even though it would see it, it would see the radio, and I could read the config, but I couldn't write to it until I took all the other cables off. So if you have any other programming cables, just mysteriously hooked up to your machine for whatever reason, try removing those, but I'm guessing that's probably not the case.
Yeah, I'll look into it. Really can't get a cable right now.
Oh, well, I gave you the cable for the one, right? Didn't I? Didn't I give you that one?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how to get it to read, because it's not reading into the computer, and then I'm trying to learn how to actually utilize the software.
Yeah, their software is not the best. You got to do everything like manually, line by line. You can't cut and paste. You can't auto-populate anything in there. It's a little bit basic, but it works. I was expecting more from Yaesu, but yeah, it wasn't the best, that's for sure.
Thankfully, so I just really need 2 repeaters on this other handheld, the UHF and the VHF for the Central Michigan Network, because really that's about all I'm going to hit.
Well, sounds like you got at least one of them in there, so you'll figure it out. It's not tough.
Ain't that what this hobby's about, figuring stuff out?
Yeah, that's affirmative. That's true. Gotta learn how to program your radios from software. That's a basic skill.
Hey, you're not hearing much background noise. That's not static. Texas. My brother's playing with the dog, and the dog is being very noisy.
No, I don't hear much of anything. There's some very, very, very light background static, but it's really not. Yeah, I mean, I got to really strain to hear it.
Well, that's good. But are you on HD in the barn, then, or are you hooked up onto radio that you just so happen to keep out there? Is it CW8FFR station 90?
No, I have a 50 watt mobile in here hooked up to an antenna outside in a tree. Literally in a tree, because I can't get a tower high enough. I need a 100 foot tower to get above the forest where I live here. So it's sitting in a tree about mid level, and that seems to do pretty well.
That's good. And as nice as it is to be able to go all over the place, really, as long as you're hitting what you need to hit, whether that's repeaters or other hams, you're doing pretty good.
Well, I was doing simplex on a VHF frequency with a guy in, Pinconning. He was in Pinconning. So, I don't know. That seems pretty far for simplex, but it was working. Who knows?
Again, if someone can hit the LaPierre repeater from Detroit, anything's possible.
Well, certain conditions happen, too, where it makes it better. Maybe he could hit it that day and not the other days. Who knows? But VHF, I don't know that that's super susceptible to that. I think a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah, radio is just absolutely fascinating to me. I love it. I just wish I had the money to get more radios and more equipment. I'd have antenna towers up all over the place. The neighbors would probably be like, what is this guy doing?
And this is KF8AYL for ID. Yeah, well, that's the question on the general. They can't fire you from putting up any ham radio antennas. Must be reasonably accommodated.
Yeah, that's good. Last time I went to the amateur radio club meeting that I'm a part of, they were talking about how they possibly might be trying to get HOAs to finally allow antennas for amateur radio.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Are HOAs actually allowed to fire them completely? Or, I don't know. I've never been a part of an HOA. That's kind of by design. I hate HOAs. They seem to do nothing but create rules that inflict the pain in your life. But I didn't know they were actually allowed to bar them outright, but maybe, because like my parents live in a fancy condo complex in Clarkston, and I'm quite sure they would be upset if somebody stuck up a giant antenna in there.
Yeah, I also am not a fan of HOAs, which is why in a neighborhood in Flint and not in like one of these subdivisions, because I was actually at a subdivision not too long ago. They had a $150 HOA fee. I'm like, why? $150 HOA fee? And it was down by like New Baltimore area. I was down there, and I'm like, that's just crazy.
Oh, there's a lot of them that are a lot more than that, my friend. A lot more. Ridiculous.
No thanks. I'll gladly pay the rent I'm paying for my house in the neighborhood and not pay HOAs and instead deal with my car, which sucks my dick. Don't try it.
Yep, I hear you. I'll plow my own snow and take care of my own trees and yard, and thank you very much. You don't need to tell me how to do it.
Thanks about this place. Well, the trees are along the interstate, and I don't think they're... We have some on the property line, but they really aren't in the way of anything. There used to be like old outbuildings on the property, and there's a bunch of cinder blocks. And they built a fire pit. I was trying to pull these cinder blocks up to make the fire pit bigger, and half of them have a little shrub tree growing through them, so I'm like, well, that's a problem.
Well, if it's on your property, then you get to go out there and trim it up and fix it.
Again, I'm renting, so I don't want to just chop it down trees all willy-nilly.
Well, then it's the landlord's problem. So not yours, so all the better.
Besides, it'd be a great place to put in a antenna tower. Now in the open, no trees around it. Like, directly next to it, it'd be a good place for an antenna tower, probably. Oh, well. I'm enjoying where I'm at. And I'm planning on building my cherry rig window antenna, because I have one of those 3/8 by 24 threads to coax. I'm going to get one. I get an antenna that fits in it, get a cookie sheet, and make my own antenna out of it.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you can get lots of stuff to work. If you got the ingenuity to do it, you can get lots of stuff to work, that's for sure. So, lots of designs out there on the internet for various cheap stuff. You'll get something. You'll be all right.
I know. Hey, SFR, if there's any other stations that want to break in, go ahead. We're not trying to exclude you or anything.
KD8IWS, Kurt in Fenton. Yeah, just walking through my radio room here, and I heard you on the repeater. Just a question, what are your QTHs?
This is WAFFR. My name here is Ryan, and my QTH is 20.
And I'm KFAAYL10, and I'm in Birch Run, Michigan.
Ken, KF8AYL, is that Lima?
That is correct. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Alpha Yankee, Lima.
Yeah, okay, Ken. Yeah, we might have talked before. So you're in Birch Run. You must be going into maybe the Carroll repeater? Or are you going into another repeater? And Ryan, you must be going into the Lapeer repeater. Am I correct on that?
This is WAFFR. I'm going into the Flemmore.
I'm going into the Guilford.
I said my QTH is Flemmore. Now my home is
the best.
So, yeah.
Over to you, Ryan.
Yeah, I think you doubled, guys. Yeah, Ken, Guilford, repeater. And Ryan, I missed what you were going into.
Flint, the 147.38. It is now my home QTH, and the FCC has not updated my address yet. So that's why it may stay up here.
Okay. No, I just was curious. I'm using the Fenton repeater, 14678, and I'm only about a mile and a half from that repeater as crow flies, so it's up on one of the larger hills in Genesee County, and now you both have real good signals into the system, so I was just curious. I'll step back out of here, but always good to hear guys using this system. Have a good night. This is Kurt in Fenton, Kilo Delta 8, India Whiskey Sierra, KD8IWS, clear, 7-3, guys.
KD8IWS from WAFFR, 7-3, you have a wonderful night. And Ken, you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, good chatting with you there, IWS, and maybe we'll talk again. Yeah, I need to back out of here too, Ryan. I need to get back to work here. Gonna finish this up before supper time here. But yeah, good talking with you. Hopefully things work out here, and Yeah, I think you'll be good. I think you'll be all right. 73 and KF8AYO, clear on your final.
Yep, break time's over. Time to get back to work. So, you enjoy the rest of your night, Ken. It's good talking to you. I will talk to you again. KF8AYL 73. This is with Yank, Fox Romeo. I am clear of this speaking.
FCV in East Tallahassee. Yeah, everybody sounds good out there to hear. Yeah, that Guilford repeater works pretty good. I'm on that 310 repeater. Sounds good up here. 73s, KE8SEV, we're clear.
Yeah, I've used it up there in Tallahassee to KB80OE. I'm using it right now from Frankenmuth.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, I'm right here, just in, I don't know, I'm probably about a quarter mile from the big lake. I can see it, so yeah. Sounds good up here, fellas.
Is it pretty much all the way down and around, too? And, coming back from up there, used it, coming back into Lapeer, switch over to Lapeer somewhere around, between Birch Run and Otisville, somewhere over that way. I don't even remember where I switched back. More towards Millington, I think. But it does a good job. They got a lot of remotes.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, up here in the boondocks, we're kind of remote from most repeaters. I got to work with the West Branch and this one, and oh, there's another one north on US 23 up there by Martin City, and, well, how many more do you need?
We're talking 14694 in West Branch.
Yeah, roger that. Roger that on the 940.
I made a collinear wire antenna for two. That was like a 5 half-wave tall collinear, and I'd pull it up in the trees on the north end of the lake. I camped that up in Lewiston, and I could make it into that, into the West Branch. That's a nice, or it used to be a real nice machine. I don't know if it'd make it all the way up there now, but it used to back then.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Yeah, I hear fellas, there's a, at least one fella up there at Lewiston. I don't remember his call sign, but yeah, he comes into the 9-4 every morning on the comp talk, roger.
I was running a 50-watt Elenco or Kenwood, I can't remember anymore. It was at 5... Well, it was like the base of it was like a Ringo Ranger ARX2, and but it was five of those tall instead of just two like a Ringo Ranger, and those trees out there on the lake were pretty tall. They got that red oak disease now. They got them red oaks piled up all around that campground there at the north end of Big Bear Lake, and destroyed those trees.
All right, copy that. Yeah, I wish I had some in-laws that used to live on Little Bear Lake there. Yeah, I used to do a lot of walleye fishing on Little Bear, and I wasn't into this radio back then. That was, 20 years ago, but yeah, I had some handhelds that worked up to the cabin from the pond, roger.
Tell you that Bear Lake Road got populated. There's houses all down that thing now. I was bored the last time I went up there and drove around that side instead of taking Meridian Line or whatever back down to 38 from Vienna Corners. That there's a lot of cabins now.
Yeah, I copy that. Yeah, it was, this was like back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Well, everybody's passed away, and I think the property got sold, and it was on offer. Yeah, I've been to Vienna Corners many times. You used to go to Elk Viewing area all the time, and they live down off of Meridian Line on Honey Lane on Little Bear Lake. So, yeah, and I had good times back then.
Time I went up there, there used to be a beach on the north end of Victor, and it was gone, and the little break wall thing they made there to hold the sand back, keep it from washing into the lake, that was about 2 feet deep, and all the ramps for the wheelchairs and stuff were underwater, and I went down and stomped on one of them ramps, and a big bass come flying out. I guess the fishing's a lot better, but those have no outlet. They're not a dammed up lake. So it was about 6 feet deeper than normal is what they were telling me. And it's been maintained in 3 to 4 feet deeper. So the beach is gone.
Copy that. My father-in-law, he was a big bass fisherman. He was from Westland area and had the big Champion bass boat and yada, yada, yada. And he says, he told me, don't even waste your time on Big Bear Lake. You're not going to catch nothing out of there. So I never went to it, so I always fished Little Bear Lake. For some strange reason, it was full of walleye and pike. My stepson caught a 15-pound pike out of there 4th of July day one day, right in the middle of the day. Oh, man, it was so crowded. I said, dude, let's get out of here. We were headed to the boat launch, and wham, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. This 15-pound pike grabs a lure I found on the Sable River that he was trolling, and I called the wife on the FRS radio, and I said, bring the truck down to the launch, get us out of here, this is nuts, and wow, we had to have it mounted.
Well, there was private, it's better fishing now, because Big Bear, I mean, nobody's going there, the beach is gone, so it's more of a fishing lake, and they've got no wake. So you can't water ski there right now.
Well, yeah, I don't remember seeing it. I don't know. That Little Bear Lake was an association, so it was all gated off. Yeah, the sheriff used to drive by there, and I'm sure he was just wishing he could get down there, but it was a, you know, unless there's a severe accident, they weren't allowed on it.
Yeah, it was private. That would have been the one I'd want to own property on.
All right, I got to run in here and grab my chow and say 73s to you. This is Kilo Echo 8, Sierra Echo Victor in East Ottawa. 73s to you there, brother.
Nothing like panfish and Fletcher Pond, though. 73's the 800-OE.
Uh-oh, here comes the wambulance. Yeah, they're on Fletcher Pond, too. Oh, I won an ice fishing tournament on there one time. But anyway, later. 73's, bro.
Good evening, 1900 hours, 41 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours, cloudy, 41 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours, 41 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours, 42 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, rain, 41 degrees.